You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 61 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I am joined by Smuggler Faction, Nate Moore.
Make it happen. It can happen. We're talking factions today.
Rest in peace, R3A2, William Hagwood.
No more stress control. What a bummer.
Is that a real thing?
I assume.
And stranger danger, Marcel Manzano.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
The prodigal son has returned. We're back. We're back.
Yeah.
So, this is inevitably, so we have notes, but this is inevitably going to end up probably turning into this thing where we actually all end up talking about 2.0 with Marcel. So we'll try to stick to the notes as much as possible and then try to hold off the 2.0 stuff, you know, later. All right. So our plan today is we're going to be talking about faction identities and all things faction related. Before we go too far, I do want to remind you guys, we stream three nights a week here on the Gold Squadron Podcast on Twitch and YouTube. Wednesday night, our league night, we have league play, lots of different shenanigans. We're going to have some Mario Kart coming up here in a couple weeks. We're getting a official map printed and it's going to be lots of fun, as well as our league championships. We have our Friday night grab bag stream, aka whatever I feel like doing on a Friday. It could be Vassal. It could be me playing Knights of the Old Republic. It could be me, simply me shipping things out. Like, you're literally just watching me put things in envelopes. It'll be whatever I feel like it, because it's a Friday night grab bag.
Is Dion going to do his taxes?
Sure. You might see. I actually did those already. So maybe when that comes around next year. Or our Monday night podcast live, which people are watching live now. Or if you haven't watched live before, you can go ahead and do that in the future. We broadcast our live stream Monday nights around 9 o'clock, depending on how on time people are.
How come we only get to see you, though?
Well, I mean, I guess we could.
I mean, you are a pretty good-looking guy and all, but, I mean, like, a couple of us ain't that bad either.
This is true. Because, honestly,
I don't know about Nate, but...
Whoa, I know. Whoa. If anyone says anything, Nate is definitely number four.
Full disclosure, definitely. It's just significantly easier for me just to do my video. If I put you guys in there, it's going to take a lot more work, and I don't feel like it. Not yet, anyway.
Can we do the thing like in Warcraft where we all have the bouncing head avatars? That'd be cool. No? All right, no. Just me.
I want to talk about the Goldies raffle before we get into our main topic today. All prizes have been shipped and emails have been sent out to any winners that require more information. So you, by now, you should have known what your ticket numbers were, and I have listed all of the numbers, and I emailed you and stuff. If you haven't got my email, check the trash or the spam folder. And if you have any questions, go ahead, shoot me an email. We'll get that done. I spent the last like 3 days just like a madman shipping all kinds of stuff. So been lots of fun.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, let's get to our main topic. We're talking about faction identity. So as you guys have heard, or maybe you haven't heard, in X-Wing 2.0, one of the points that they made during their initial presentation was talking about how their plan is to make factions more unique in second edition. We're going to have Rebels, we're going to have the Empire, we're going to have Scum and Villainy, but the Resistance and the First Order are going to be their own factions. So one of the things that inevitably does come up is if you have to choose, or if you want to choose, how do you go about that? What's your mental process for doing that? So we're just going to kind of have an open discussion about choosing what you want to play. You might want to play one faction or maybe just two, because we're going to end up with five. And assuming that second edition takes, takes the steps to fix a lot of the issues that we had in first edition. The hope is that second edition is around for a long time. And who knows, they might even end up branching out to even more factions, because now X-Wing could, if they're doing all these different factions, we could end up getting something like the Separatists and the Republic. So, not anything too far-fetched there. What do you guys think?
It's possible.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and that's what I was... oh, go ahead, William.
I was going to say that they could build the whole Separatist faction around that droid calculate action. A lot of interesting mechanics with it. So I think it's possible. They future-proofed it.
I mean, didn't they have something like this in their FCG?
I don't know, but I think for me the exciting idea that comes is the idea of bringing Old Republic and making Old Republic their own faction, because they're breaking it out based on timelines and chronological. And I don't know, just I played the Old Republic, both the MMO and the RPGs. And the idea of bringing some of those characters and some of those ships and the Mandalorians and just a lot of that old lore, it'd be interesting to bring it into the game. And it would open up, it would probably break our wallet. But outside of breaking our wallet, it would be awesome. You can have 8-9 factions by the time you're done.
It would be really hard to balance like 8 or 9 factions. I mean, it's hard enough for them to balance the 3 and make everything kind of like working together and everything. Not just like, you know, this board game, but just video games and everything else. Like they try to balance just, you know, 8 or 9, you know, different characters or things. And that becomes like a huge thing to try to do. But like, no, like I was saying about the LCG, doesn't the LCG have like a kind of different factions kind of thing? Like there's like the, you know, Imperial Navy, there's this or that. There are all these subsets of it and you can kind of run it like that, which would be kind of fun. But then I feel like you're going to get less ships per faction. You might get like 5 ships a faction or something.
Well, I mean, if we're looking at content wise, I think the eventual goal is to make them even, right?
Yeah, but that's it's to make them to even. Make.
But I mean, when it comes to amount of content, like we have a ton of Rebels and a ton of Empire. What we're probably going to see once they get to the Resistance and the First Order, I would expect when that Wave 2 comes and we're going to get those conversion kits for what we have currently, the initial releases, they're going to have quite a bit, I think, emphasis on the Resistance and the First Order in order to get them caught up, or at least some type of equal amount of ships or close to it. Because I mean, if you look at that conversion kit for Rebels and Imperials, I mean, they're huge. There's a ton of different ships there. So it'll take some time.
I can't fly my 97 TIE fighters.
Say that again?
I can't fly my 97 TIE fighters with one conversion kit.
don't troll the people at home. So let's go ahead and start talking about what are some ways that FFG can start creating some faction identity. Now, we don't have anything solidified. We haven't had specific definitions of what FFG plans to do. This is all just kind of some theory crafting of what it could be. And once we get more information, how we can start making these decisions. So I think the most basic way that you can look at it, if you're looking at it from a gameplay standpoint, are unique mechanics. So right now, we kind of associate efficiency with the Empire / First Order. You got toughness with your Rebels, and you got your dirty tricks with scum and villainy. So that's kind of like the basic ideas that they've built around. And we'll see how they continue to either build on that or differentiate those with the First Order and the Resistance. But I'm looking forward to see what type of unique aspects they give to each of the factions. Because one of the things that they did say in their presentation is that they did notice that the lines between the factions just started to blur more and more because, and that's something we talked about here on the show, right? That I said, hey, we're just at a point where everybody has the same tools. So just, you know, find which one has the best use of those tools and use it there if you want to use that. So
yeah, like, well, what was it? The Gan Finesman was like the B-wing version of like the scum ships or something.
Exactly. Another way we could end up looking at it. Now, we don't know anything really about 2.0. We have just scratched the surface, and some very basic cards have been revealed. But one thing that we could start talking about once we get that is difficulty level. You know, now I will admit that difficulty level when it comes to playing a faction is a little bit of a touchy subject But and I say that because some people are very strong, you know, very strongly opinionated. Like they're like, no, you know, Empire is harder to fly and takes more skill. No, Scum. Like there's, I'm not here to argue that. But once we have more of that information, we'll actually be able to take it apart. But we'll disagree then anyway. when we get there, because people will have their preferred faction and then argue for theirs anyway.
Yeah. And I think difficulty is really going to be an individual thing because
it's relative.
Some people are more adept at, you know, measuring and looking at placement, and some people are more adept at putting together combinations. Or so it's more about playstyle and what suits your playstyle ultimately. Especially if they're going to break out the factions, like they said, to be you know, more unique between one and another, so it'll make your play style more effective with one versus the other. So the other ones might seem more difficult, but to somebody else, it's kind of a cakewalk. Like I can't drop bombs, but William will drop bombs on everyone.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is.
And that's the next piece on our agenda here. Is one of the things that they also talked about in the presentation is starting to present some unique play styles for each of the factions. And then the next part I want to talk about is probably the biggest factor for most people when it comes to what faction they prefer to play, and that is the thematic preference, the fluff. We're playing a Star Wars game, right, guys? Like, so if you had to pick simply on fluff, only the fluff alone, what would be your preferred faction? Don't worry about what you play in the game, what you've played. I'm just curious. Let's just have a
Scum.
And why is that, Nate?
I don't know. Just because growing up, I always loved the six bounty hunters. They were my favorite, and they're still my favorite. If I see anything that has them on that, I immediately just turn my head and then kind of gloss towards that. You know, when they put out those like four cards for like Adepticon and all the other system opens, I went, need that immediately. So Scum would be like my favorite just by like, you know, thematic and looks, because I don't know, it's what I grew up with and what I loved then.
Marcel?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Scum, I like, but I think I'm going to have to go with old school Imperial, the old school Empire. The TIE Interceptor, the TIE Fighter, the TIE Bomber, the TIE Advance. I mean, you can't get better than that.
William?
As much as I love Rebels, can I say Force users as like the theme?
They all have Force users.
Yeah, that's true. But which one would have the most Force users? Rebels, I guess? Probably Rebel, yeah, Force probably, users probably, yeah, is what I would say then.
Fantastic. Yeah, for myself, I'm probably in that same boat there. Rebels. I mean, it's one of those where growing up watching the movies, for me, it was always like, go Rebels, take down the Empire. Like, I thought Darth Vader looked cool, but I was like, man, you were going to kill your son. You redeemed yourself? Are we sure he's redeemed? Like, I don't really know. Like, I wasn't convinced as a child that he was redeemed. Like, I didn't see that, but whatever. My headcanon is not the actual canon. It's okay. but for maybe somebody... Now, here's a reality that some people who play this game aren't into Star Wars. So I thought we would do like some quick hits on what is the fluff for our five factions. So I wrote up some real like small stuff. So you got the Empire, right? Having ultimate power in the universe is the most important thing. Law and order is vital to prosperity. Fall in line or be punished. The loss of the few is worth the gains of the many. All right, that's the Empire. That's their thing. You know, they have their like the whole idea behind the TIE swarm, right? It's like you got dispensable ships. You're like, it's fine. He died. That's okay. We got more TIE fighters coming. You know, just dispense.
They zerg them down.
That's right. Dispensability. Rebels, you have like freedom, choice for all. We refuse to give in to the tyranny of the Empire. Every life matters. What are some different other things like fluff wise for the Rebels?
I think how do you say it? Like shade tree mechanics? I can't think of the right word for it, but making do with what you got. can't think of the word.
Oh yeah, scrounging together, kind of scrappy, like, yeah, old, yeah, getting scrappy.
Scrappy, yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah, it's scrappy. And by the way, that movie,
they might not have the numbers, but the can still do a lot of damage.
That movie challenged that every life matters. The Rogue One.
yeah,
every true. Life doesn't matter.
And then Scum and Villainy, right? Space Outlaws, Living on the Fringe. What's in it for me? I need to get paid. Yeah. I don't care about the rules. This is all about me, man.
It's kind of funny. If you read like the Bounty Hunter's guide and everything, you get a little more insight on that. And they're like, well, yeah, we're kind of about ourselves, but we also still have this strict code and it's about this. And but really, everyone's out for themselves. So
for sure, for sure. And then we got the First Order, risen from the ashes of the Empire, here to restore order. All hail the Supreme Leader. You know, they're basically the Empire 2.0. It's Empire Second Edition is really what it is. It's we're doing this again. Just some like canon spoilers. So if you're like you're like reading books and you don't want to know things, I guess close your ears for like a second.
Same goes Dumbledore.
Correct. And so what happens is in the book, so they explain that after the fall of the Empire, everybody who was left ends up basically going to the outer reaches, basically where like people don't have like maps for planets and things, and they gathered their forces together there after the Battle of Jakku, and that's where the First Order rose up from there, and they're like, boom, we're here, let's take over,
we're back.
Yeah, we're back. See, exactly.
I haven't read the books, but just from the first two movies, from the First Order, to me they've got this and I think they did it purposely, they've got this like this Nazi aura that if you ain't like us, you're not fit to be, period.
Yeah.
You have to conform. Where the Empire was trying to rule is like the Empire was more like, be yourself, just bow down to me. The First Order is,
yeah,
you gotta conform, you have to be like us or you're not going to survive.
Yeah, so they're the extremists of the Empire. I get that.
That's the way it comes across to me.
And then the resistance, government gone. Their government is gone. Their resources are limited, and they're the last line of defense between the universe and the First Order. Again, referring to some book canon. Like they didn't have government backing to begin with. And then went so far as to be like, all right, we need to start gathering ships and supplies because stuff's about to go down. And then what happened? Their government was blown up and the stuff went down. So that's the resistance. It's like, please help us.
Yeah. So the First Order is a more extreme version of the Empire, and the resistance is a more pitiful version of the rebels.
It's pitiful, or just more like,
I would say more pitiful. Like they've got less resources, they've got less backing. I mean, the rebels had backing by some pretty powerful senators and politicians, where the resistance doesn't have any of that.
So why don't they have the government then? That was the thing I never understood. Is like, where is the rest of the government with like, you know, the resistance? Well, it's like, so, oh, the galactic.
They got blown up.
So what? They got, well, not only did they get blown up. So before then, so the government was on Hosnian Prime. That's like their planet, that one that got blown up in episode 7.
No, I know, but before that, why did the resistance need to be?
Well, the resistance wasn't a thing. There were rumors of the rise of the First Order, and Leia was like, "Hey, government, I think we should do a thing." And
they said we're not going to do the thing.
No, I think we're good. The government was like, "No, we're good." And Leia's like, "Guys, you guys want to do a thing because I think this bad stuff's going to happen." And people were like, let's go ahead and do that. So that's how the resistance came to be. And
we're warning you. And then like, they didn't heed the warning.
No. And now they're all dead.
Yep. Spoilers. Yeah.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Sorry.
I haven't seen the new movie yet.
So now let's go ahead and take all of that. Okay. Let's go ahead and take all of that and let's talk about and crush it into the game. Let's talk about the game. So how do I go ahead and choose if I'm not talking about the fluff? Like, how do I figure out what I want? Don't be afraid to proxy. I think that's one thing that us as miniatures game players can take from card players. A lot of card players are not afraid to proxy things. They'll go ahead and like write out their cards and try a lot of things. And you know, with the technology that we have Vassal, I think is probably the number one you know, proxy piece you have. You don't have to buy anything. You can try it out and then figure out what faction you like. Go ahead and borrow stuff from people at your local game night to figure out what you like. What are some other ideas when it comes to proxying, Marcel?
Well, just to kind of go in, like, X-Wing is one of those few places that you're actually allowed to proxy, because I guess in like a lot of those other card games, especially Magic, you are not allowed. Even at Worlds, people are like, if you don't have it printed, put in the sleeve, you're okay. It's kind of nice in our community about that. Well, everyone else is a little bit
I would say stricter. In tournament play, you should have all the stuff, but I'm talking about like at your casual night when you're trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But even like the Magic guys and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, they proxy all the time when it comes to casual games.
For sure. Oh, do they? Oh,
yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I think the conversion kit's going to be the easiest way to proxy. I mean, you just get everything but the model. You can be able to build so many lists with just one conversion kit.
And, you know, to piggyback on that, on William, is because all of the cardboard bases have all of the fire, like you got all four sides of the firing arc, you get the bullseye, like, and you have all the markings, like it's going to be the same for every single base from here on out. Even if, let's say, you have only the Rebel stuff and you want to proxy something from Empire, you can just use those base chits, like it still works. You just know what you're trying. You make sure you and your opponent or your friend, you discuss beforehand what you're doing, and it still works on the table.
Yeah, it still does. I mean, and from a pure just you want to try stuff out with friends, it works. I think it, for me, it takes something out of it. It makes it less fun because I like playing with toys, and then it feels like, you know, I'm playing G.I. Joe's with a Barbie. It doesn't quite fit right, but yeah, I mean, you can do that. I mean, it's a possibility. It's something that you can try, just not quite. Doesn't feel right. It feels dirty.
Well, I guess what I'm talking about specifically, if that is what your goal is, you're trying to get that done, that's a way to go about it. And I think, again, let's continue down our line here. I think this experience is going to be really different if you're a new player versus an experienced player. Because if you're a new player, I think you need to look at when you did a demo or when you tried the game out for the first time and you decided, all right, I'm in. I think whatever faction has to do with whatever faction has to do with what made you like the game and want to buy in, I think that is the faction you should go with, because it's what you had fun with immediately. You can also watch other people play, all kinds of stuff. Like, there's make your decisions based on your experiences rather than somebody else's opinion. I think that's always the best way to go, because then you won't go wrong. At least you won't go wrong with your own conviction. If you end up changing your mind later, you change your mind later. But at least initially, if you play with what you're excited about.
I'm pretty sure you can make any ship good. I mean, even like Ryan made the Resistance bomber like really well. I mean, didn't he win to like top four at Worlds or
eight?
Mm-hmm.
Top eight. Yeah, he went top eight with, like, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, there is a spot, so it's fun, but it's not very competitive. I mean, it's basically whatever you make. I mean, pick the ship you like to fly and pick the ship you like to play, and you can always make it competitive, however.
If you're an experienced player, I think you cannot avoid to have bias from what you were successful with in first edition. Like, I think that's going to be an automatic. You're going to, like, all right, what was I good at in first edition? What's the closest thing in second edition? I'm going to try that first. Now, another part of this whole thing is some people will not choose a faction. Some people will go with saying, I'm going to buy everything. And I'll just play whatever's best. Or I'm a completionist, so I'm going to buy everything. Or, you know, and then there's also the other side. There's the practical people or the people who have a limited budget who do have to stay within one. So in this whole discussion, I want you everybody to make sure that you're looking at this from your own personal scope, because it's very different for everybody. And especially if... Go ahead, Marcel.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, it's actually a completely different... you know, for me, it's becoming a different problem. It's not about the money, and it's not about what I like flying. It's about space. I'm literally running out of space to put stuff in. And I open up clothes drawers and pull out X-Wings and boxes of like Gazantes and stuff. It's kind of sick. Like I had a girlfriend come over and she opened a food pantry drawer and an X-Wing box fell out. So it's just... And you laugh, but it's true. I mean, like, where do you put this stuff? And you,
I can stop whenever I want.
Did that not seal the date?
Huh?
Was that the turnoff?
No, that was that. Yeah, that sealed the date. Everybody loves a nerd, but that's not the point. There's nowhere to put this stuff. I literally got the buy.
You like the Fenrow too?
Like the especially like the dirty epic ships and stuff. But forget the epic ships. So now you're getting all this new cardboard and all this new stuff. And we're going to get new models with the new expansions that are coming out, the expansions that are still coming out for the 1.0, plus the new starter kit. So mm-hmm. It's just for me, it's just becoming a problem of space. I got nowhere to put the stuff.
Well, I feel like if you had like a, if you play Legion, I feel like that's gonna be way worse, because you have to actually like buy terrain as well. And like, that's just unfathomable to me, all the things that you're gonna have to like get into with that.
Well, let's go down this tangent a little bit, just a little bit. And someone in the chat actually asked a really good question. When 2.0 drops, what of your stuff that you currently have for first edition are you planning on getting rid of, if anything? So I'll tell you for myself. I am a hoarder for sure. I will definitely be getting rid of all my cardboard tokens for first edition. Those will all go into the recycling. By the way, recycle them if you can. I'm not judging you if you don't.
What if you still want to go back to 1.0? There's no reason not to, right? Maybe I'm being weird. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so. But my plan is to toss all of my tokens. The only thing I'll keep is the little bases, the... Like, they have the pilots on them and stuff like that, just because they're cool game pieces. And if Nate does have a point here, if I ever want to maybe do an intro game for first edition for whatever reason, I'll have those pieces. But those will be going in a box in the basement. Like, they're not going to be readily available for me to use. And I think if somebody doesn't have the space to store it, I don't think there's a reason. There is not a reason to keep them if you don't want to or have to. All that stuff and that's going to be coming in the conversion kits, literally just going to replace what you have. So some ideas there. I know for sure the tokens are going. Like, I have a whole giant box of I don't even know why I have them, like a giant box of focus tokens.
I do the same thing of all the focus tokens, like, yo, like, yep. every token that you're like, I'm going to use this, and then you bring five of them, you never use any of them. Yep. So yeah.
So, you know, and then I want to, you know, continuing here, what if you have to pick a faction and it turns out that you hate that faction? You're like, I made the wrong choice. Oh no, Dion, I did all the things you said and it was wrong. Fret not. It's okay, because there are going to be other people who also end up being like, hey, I want to switch factions as well, and I'm on a budget. Don't forget that there are lots of different tools out there. There's plenty of swap and sell pages on Facebook. If you would post something like, want to trade Imperial lot for Resistance lot, like that, that is the type of transactions that you can try to.
I've got a good tangent going on this one.
Okay, but let me finish.
Go ahead.
You can like I said, trade. You can buy used ship lots, or pilots. And again, don't be afraid to proxy to figure out what you want if you feel like you need to make a switch and you're a person who is going to be sticking with just one faction. Go ahead, Nate.
So no, what I really wish we had in this group, because unfortunately we don't, are Warhammer players. Like, the four of us are not Warhammer players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or War Machine, or
right.
You know, Guild Ball. Okay, so because those games and everything, because the models are so freaking expensive, you usually pick one faction and you stick with that faction. It kind of sucks because you're kind of get like shoehorned into that one faction, and you can never change unless you really, really have to either sell everything. Because I'm from what I understand about like Warhammer and like, you know, War Machine is basically you pick the one, you stick with the one. Maybe they have two, but typically it's just that one. And so I'm really hoping X-Wing doesn't get like that, because I never feel like X-Wing is like that. With X-Wing, I always feel like, oh, it's all about less. It's like, oh, do I want to fly this? Do I want to fly this or this? And I don't ever consider myself a one faction kind of person, because I can fly everything. I just mix and match whatever I feel like. And I love that about X-Wing. And I'm afraid that's going to be like Warhammer thing. I mean, obviously not to the same degree, where everything's super expensive and you have to really decide, oh, do I want to invest in this one or, you know, day one? No, because no one knows. And that's why I never got into that game, because it's like, oh, what happens if I decide that I spend all this money and realize I don't even like that and I like your faction better, and now I'm stuck with this. And so that's why I never got into that game. I didn't want X-Wing to be that, and I hope it doesn't. It's gonna be cool with the factions, but just, you know.
Yeah, I totally understand the worry that if the factions do become so big and segmented that eventually you can't play all the factions, but the hope is that with the new app and the ability to balance, you know, the game on a consistent time base, that each of the factions end up being fair, so that it's level across each faction, that every faction has an opportunity to be competitive. I think that's the ultimate goal. If we end up going to a system where it's impossible to keep track of every single faction, which we don't know if that's going to be the case, but if this game, think about, in how many years has the game been around? Seven?
I forget.
Six? Like seven? I think 2011.
There you go. So 2011, and we have, so that was the life of first edition. We're going to, if we get another 7 years out of second edition, can you afford to, if you look at your over your collection and double it, you know?
Oh.
Right? Like, can you, like Marcel brought up already, space? Can you afford it?
It's not going to come out of my pantry anymore. Yeah.
I still fit everything except for Apple ships in one box. So,
well,
I mean, you guys know I look good everywhere.
That's great for you, but you have to.
But right? Not everyone, yeah.
That's not everybody. Like, some people might not have space. Some people might not have the money. Like, there's lots of different concerns when it comes to that, which is why I wanted to have this conversation early when it came to faction identity and trying to choose if you have to.
Here's the good news is most of the people already have all the ships anyways, at least 95% of the ships that we're going to be using, at least for like another year, hopefully. We'll see. But I mean, they might change, you know, some of the things in between the factions now with the conversion, but you probably have the ship anyways right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
And then another great point brought up in the chat here with these conversion kits. We're going to have a lot of extra stuff. There's going to definitely be things that you get in your conversion kits that you either don't use or rarely use. So, the very first thing that comes to mind is trading. You can definitely trade within your local group or online, saying, hey, I have an extra ARC 170 conversion. I'm looking for a TIE Advanced. And those two people just swap. I am 100% sure that there's going to be a third market for people selling single ship conversions. Like, that's going to be a thing. And also, like, I know for myself, I'll probably be getting a couple conversion kits for each. And most likely, I will just give some away. It'll be like, hey, you need a conversion for this? I'm not going to fly you know, X number of TIE fighters here. You can just have this one. Like, make sure that you're communicating within your local play group and figure out how you guys can help each other come along in the game, because it's no fun if you're the only person who has all the stuff and nobody else has anything and nobody can play, right? So, you know, that's just another way to look at it. How
the balance is gonna be a hard act. I mean, it's already hard now and everything, just like making more factions could make it even harder. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
Well, that's the whole, I mean, it's a little bit of a tangent, but that's the whole purpose of the app and being able to switch the costs whenever they feel it's needed. It's like, hey, this faction or this group is not as good. Let's go ahead and lower the point cost there or raise the point cost on the thing that is being abused right now. So, yeah, there's ways to, you know, to adjust there. William, what are you thinking right now? You're kind of quiet. All the thoughts swimming around your head right now.
It's gonna be hard to choose a faction. Actually, I was looking through some of the building list, and everything looks just fair. so it's gonna be. You were saying like, you know, talking about price it down if it's abusive, but man, I don't see anything that is gonna be that heavy handed.
Well, I wanted to know, what was one of the first, like, lists you usually kind of were, like, using when you first started playing the game? What did you play?
Four ship Rebels. Doing the box formation, just jousting stuff as, like, B-Wings and stuff. X-Wings. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm already thinking about a U-Wing and three X-Wings. Man, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so much, there's so much coming up, and like I know that we're gonna end up we're starting it already. We're transitioning into the 2.0 talk, and we'll get there. But I do want to put a cap on this. If you are in the boat where you have to choose, or you feel like you want to choose your faction, you know, that we gave you a lot of things to think through, a lot of ways to make those choices, and hopefully make that decision easier. Transition here. All right, guys. So for the next couple months, we're going to be doing this section called 2.0 tidbits. Okay. Or second edition tidbits. We have lots of information coming out. And, you know, if we just sat here and read it to everybody, I think it just gets super boring. I just kind of want to talk about the things that have stood out to us this week in second edition news. I have a couple things in the notes and a couple things I want to talk about. You guys can throw things out as we go. Audience, feel free to participate as well. The first thing I want to talk about is they did release an article talking about the clarification for the barrel roll, which we talked about that last week and I had it wrong. So it's actually a lot even less flexible than I thought, which makes it more fair. So the barrel roll must always start in the middle, and you can only ever go as far like to when you flip it over, you can go to the line. So line to line, or as far forward as possible as we know it now, or far back. That's it. It is reducing the amount of flexibility and movement on the barrel a lot, quite a bit, which thematically I think makes a lot more sense, because the barrel is really only supposed to be a side to side movement, not this massive, you know, as we currently do in first edition, as far back or far forward, which gives you a lot of flexibility there. So, and then when it comes to the large base barrel roll, if you hadn't noticed, the one template has the little notches, the little lines also on the long side, and that's going to work that way also for large base ships. So the barrel roll on the large base ship also becomes significantly less flexible there. So if Dash is a thing in second edition, the way we know him now, he's not going to be nearly as good.
He might not have a barrel roll at all now. So we don't know. Like, I'm still waiting for like everything to get kind of revealed to really start like poking at it and trying to build anything. I'm like, let me see all the Lego pieces first, then I'll start to build.
Oh, I mean, we can't, you can't build anything. We don't, we have zero information on point guards. You can't build.
So that's why I'm just like, it's like, cool, this guy revealed, this guy revealed. I'm just going to stay chill and kind of look at what we have now. And then when 2.0 gets closer, we see all the moving parts and it's like, okay, now we can look at it. But I mean, okay. I also heard that Nim even going to be a rebel pilot anymore or no?
No, he's not going to be a rebel pilot.
I think the Skurg was, it wasn't in the conversion kit, the Skurg, right? It was only in the...
yep, there's no rebel dial for a Skurg.
Boom. Tidbit. 2.0 mm-hmm. tidbit. There you go. Marcel, you've been perusing the things. What are some things that are standing out to you?
Oh my God. I don't know if everything is new to me. So the things that I've been perusing, everybody probably has been talking about for the last few weeks.
It's fine. Bring it up.
Yeah. But for me, I think the action combination combos, seem like a big deal. The mid size bases, definitely a huge deal. And the force, I'm like, about it. Not sure how impactful it'll be, but I saw the Darth Vader one, for example, and the Darth Vader with, you know, it's got 3 force points, and then you can use a force point for an additional action, and then blah, 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 like all this stuff, and then I don't know what rate they regenerate force, but just like there's so much to take in. I'm gonna have to go back again. I was kind of I fell off the planet for a couple weeks, but I think I'm gonna have to go back and listen to all the podcasts that went through it. I think my brother Conrad suggested I listen to what you guys said last week, and also suggested I listen to Stay on Target's breakdown of it. He said Stay on Target had a really good breakdown of the 2.0. So yeah, it's hard for me to say because I'm still taking it all in. To me, it hit me like a brick today.
Oh.
What do you mean? Oh.
Oh, all I could feel is like, yo, you're like, but my jump masters.
He's not saying that.
I know.
You know, I did win stuff before jump masters were around.
Boom. Silence. Awkward silence. Let's continue.
I got put in my place. And I put That's my right. was above you all. Just kidding.
So in before we go, in this section here, with 2.0 tidbits, one thing that they haven't showed is any point cost, except they did. They showed it. It's very brief, and I noticed this week when I was going back and looking through all of the 2.0 stuff. In the promotional video, when they announce it in that initial presentation, they give you a peek at the app, and you get to see the point cost, or at least what was shown as the initial point cost on a couple of things. And the one that stood out to me was R2-D2. R2-D2 is now 10 points. So So one thing I don't know if you noticed, Marcel. The game is now 200 points. It's a 200 point game.
Oh, man.
Okay. So it's a 200 point game so that you have basically half points in between that you can place things. But the with R2-D2 being 10 points, essentially in what we know as our first edition number system, he would be equal to 5 points. So they've made him more expensive. They decided regen is really good. First, it's that regen ability is not as good in second edition.
Nope.
And it's more expensive. So they're like, go ahead, use R2-D2, but you're going to get wrecked. Or you can only use it 3 times, I think is the number of times on there. But I noticed that when I was going through, and I was like, oh, hey, while we haven't seen point cost, there is... that one shot when they show the app, they're like, oh, look at the app. You see Luke Skywalker's point cost and a couple of other things on there. And I just found that really interesting.
Man, I got real high hopes for the app. I saw that you could, there's like a little thing in the corner for you to log in. Mm-hmm. Man, it would be, so I went to the Barista, or the what's the game store in Milwaukee.
Board Game Barista.
And they, yeah, Board Game Barista. And they, for their regional, just uploaded a Google document for pairings, and we could all look at it on our phone. Now, imagine through the app, it can, like when you're logged in, it can log you into the event, and it could tell you your like table number and your opponent's list as well. Like, man, there's so many, there is so many things. Like, I'm like, the app's not going to be great at first, but man, if it works out, it could be amazing.
And let's go ahead and do a little roundtable. William just gave his. What are some hopes you have for the app? What are some things you think you would like it to do? Nate, you go next.
It'd be nice to have an app that didn't crash all the time like Aurora. I mean, Aurora. Hey, it's free.
It's free.
I know, but it does crash all the time.
Stop. I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to put you in your place. Mm-mm. Tim Risi, creator of Aurora, thank you for your work.
Thank you,
this
Tim.
This ungrateful child. Wow.
Anyway. I'm just saying, fix your app. It's still,
it takes a lot of work.
It does. I'm sure it does. But you want, here's my little nitpick.
Here's my nitpick.
Right now, if you make a list in Aurora, if you try to create if you try to add in a Sheathipede or a Republic Bomber, there is still no little ship icon next to it. That is such a small grievance, but yet here I am complaining about it on a podcast. Am I petty? I'd like to think so.
I'm gonna give him your address. He'll send you. That's the plan. Anyway, for myself, when it comes to the app, you know, William already talked about being able to have some type of connectivity for the for tournaments.
Yeah, pairs would be great.
We know that in the squad builders that do exist, we have the capability to do like keeping track of your collections. So that would be a nice feature, being able to keep track of your collection. That way you're building lists in your app that are possible. Now, I personally don't put those functions on because it takes a lot of time to put it in there, but I know a lot of people like that. And this part is a little bit selfish. Me being a streamer and a producer of video content, I need some way to output squad data from that app in order to use it live. Like I need something like that. So hopefully they come out with some type of the current software developers, the United Software Developers for X-Wing, the independent ones, the people who work on Vassal and Yet Another Squad Builder and all these people, they came up with this format called XWS to format squads and have a unified way to express things in code. So I'm hoping that Fantasy Flight comes up with something like that. That way we can export data out of the app and be able to analyze it for things like list juggler and streamers and things like that. Again, selfish request, FFG, but I want it. I want it. Marcel, what do you think?
Let's see. Some of the features that I like from other apps is actually, I like the feature of how many wins and losses you've got. I like to keep track just for my own notification, because I try out a lot of lists and I want to know what's doing well, what's not doing well. I agree with William. I want to have some type of connectivity to the actual events, FFG organized play, to where you can submit and then submit your list as an official list instead of having to write it out on paper. I think it would cut down the lines and it would just help out a lot. What are you doing on the stream? Sorry. I see you like doing the whole Spaceballs thing there. And what else? You know, there's just so many different things you can do with the app. But for me, you know, most of you guys that are already covered them. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's something different with the app that you can do. I don't know if they can figure out a way to cheat. That would be cool.
What?
Wait, did I say that out loud?
Like hack the app? Yeah. We'll put out, when the app comes out, we'll put out another challenge. Like, nobody tried to break the DICE app. Not publicly, at least. We put out a prize.
You can't mess with a god. You can't break a god.
So we'll put out another prize when that comes out. Hopefully FFG has their stuff together. Make it, tamper proof. But yeah, so that's been our X-Wing 2.0/2nd edition tidbits for this week. We want to say thank you for everybody who watched live and everybody who listened. You guys are awesome. You can always watch our live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. Upcoming, we have the San Francisco System Open and the Portland System Open coming over the first week of June and the second or third week of June, something somewhere around there. We also have Columbus System Open coming up. Lots of things happening. You can watch all of our videos and replays on our YouTube channel. Go ahead, just look up Gold Squadron Podcast, subscribe, notifications, all the things. Click the buttons. Lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us continue expanding our content, there's two ways you can do that. You can go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron, join the largest group of people who make the biggest difference for us. Or if you like giving away free money, literal free money, go to Twitch and go ahead and connect your Amazon Prime account to Twitch. You get a free Prime subscription a month. You click that for Gold Squadron Podcast. You throw $2 and change our way. That adds up really fast. So if you've done it in the past and you haven't done it in the last 30 days, go ahead and do it again. We love you for it. And if you didn't know that was a thing, go ahead and do it, because it's literal free money. Cost you nothing. $0. Thank you, everybody who's taking the time to do it. For Marcel, William, and Nate, my name is Dio Morales. Gold Squadron.